Here's Bob McKenzie, our TSN Hockey Insider in studio. What's happening, Bob?
Hey, boys. How are you doing tonight?
Good, good.
Doing very well. We've had a fun show. We had Nick Nurse on at 5:30.
Nick Nurse is guitar guy.
Brings his guitar on the road.
Oh, yeah?
Awesome move. And we just had Brendan Shanahan on, and he's got a new six-year deal. And what kind of money do you think we're talking? Like, he would be getting paid a fair amount.
Well, let's put it this way. Kenny Holland's getting $5 million a year in Edmonton. Steve Yzerman's getting $5 million a year in Detroit.
I wasn't far off then, didn't I?
Mike Babcock's making significantly more than that. So
somewhere in there.
There you go. It's a fair amount of cash.
North of that.
Let's call it between 5 and 7.
There you go.
Yeah. A good chunk.
Well, you know, we asked him where he thinks he is on his journey, and like it's been 5 years, and there's been a lot of heavy lifting, you know, and he wouldn't put a percentage on it. He said he still thinks they're kind of in the beginning of things, which they are. They're still a relatively young core, but Mitch Marner is really the guy, like that's the next wave, right? And I guess he even said it on the show that they met with Darren Ferris today,
right?
Marner's agent, and he was careful to say, you know, it's not a done deal or anything and things can happen, but he feels pretty confident. Like, are you picking up on those same vibes?
Well, no, I see, and I think it's always hard to do play-by-play of a negotiation. And unless I miss my guess, because, A, I don't know what happened in the meeting today, but I'd be really, really surprised if there was some sort of watershed moment today where Darren Ferris and the Leafs said, oh, okay, so we're pretty good then? We got, I think they're probably still noodling around on term philosophy and less about what the AAV will end up being, although all that stuff will come out over the course of time. So we'll see where it goes. I don't think Ferris is in a mode where it's going to be highly accelerated. I think from the Leafs side, they want this done sooner rather than later, so they have some cost certainty and have a better idea of what they have to spend elsewhere. So, but I would say, you know, it's not the beginning of the negotiations because there has been some dialogue, but I don't get the feeling it's, you know, that we're 70 or 80 or 90% down the road either.
Do you get a sense, though, that this contract negotiation has a lot of eyes on it as far as RFAs throughout the league?
I think they all do. I think, you know, whether it's Line A or Kyle Connor or Rantanen. I mean, the interesting ones vis-a-vis Marner in Toronto are Braden Point in Tampa and Mikko Rantanen in Colorado. And the reason why they are interesting from a Marner perspective is because, in theory, those guys should get more than Marner.
Right.
Okay? So, Braden Point's a 40-goal guy. Mm-hmm. Mitch Marner's not a 40-goal guy. Braden Point's a center. Mitch Marner's not a center, although he plays like a center, and he drives play. And I'm not meaning anything about Mitch Marner other than that they traditionally centers get paid. And I know agents will tell you that they're trying to get away from that they just deal in context of forwards. Go ahead.
So would Tampa say to the Point, like, don't even think about watching the Marner thing, and then whatever he gets,
well,
you're going to ask for more?
It's a unique circumstance, too, because there's a couple of different moving parts on Point. One is that Tampa's got more of a mature team, and they've got their cap issues, but they've also got more guys that, quote-unquote, gave at the office. Steven Stamkos' numbers below market value. Hedman's numbers below market value.
Kucherov's number.
See, and this is what the Leafs are going to do with Marner. They're going to say, well, Kucherov was the best player in the game this year. He's going to win the Hart Trophy.
Yeah.
He's making 9.5. And then, you know, I'm going to guess the Ferris camp, the Marner camp and Darren Ferris would say, yeah, but that's in Florida and there's not as much tax. And, you know, and then the Leafs are going to say, yeah, but Marner lives year round in Canada. He's getting paid in American dollars. And that's enough to offset the difference in tax factors and around and round and round we go. But back to the original point. So Braden Point, 40 goal guy, center, but unique circumstances in Tampa as to what they may not even be able to do anything other than a bridge deal. So, you know, I'm sure Marner doesn't want to do a bridge deal, and I don't think the Leafs do either. But, you know, Point may end up having to take a bridge deal in Tampa just because of the circumstances on that team. Mikko Rantanen's an interesting guy because I believe he had more points than Marner.
He was
amongst the league leaders in points all season long, and has put together an unbelievable, you know, start to his NHL career. And he's, you know, he's a big guy, and so, you know, I'm sure his camp would say we think he should be getting more than Marner's getting. And so it, you know, and he's a winger. He's a playmaking winger, who real high assist totals, but he also can score. And so those are the, you know, those are the comparables more so for me than Line A or Connor or Tkachuk or Timo Meier or whatever.
Well, this is what always fascinates me about any of these contract negotiations, but particularly with the RFAs, because of the class that we're about to see here.
Yep.
What we're dealing with here is, you know, who they are personally comparing themselves with. Because I would think Marner doesn't care about the other RFAs.
Yeah, Matthews.
He's looking at Matthews.
Yeah, exactly. That's the whole point. All these guys coming out of entry level. I've said this before. They're not very sensitive to either great performances or poor performances. If a guy has a really good platform year, his third year of his entry level deal was out of sight, and he wasn't very good in year one and two. Ryan Johansson would be a case in point when he was in Columbus. He's like, yeah, forget about those first 2 years. We don't care. I'm working off the platform here. I'm an elite player.
Right.
Give me an elite contract. Let's get it done. And they're like, well, no, you know, your body of work, you didn't do well over the 3 years, so we got to discount some of that. He goes, no, we don't. And so, because at the end of the day, there's no mechanism in place. There's no salary arb for these guys. So there's no way to settle the dispute. And you can have all the comparables you want. So, you know, if you're a guy like Marner, you say, look at my body of work here. It's fantastic. And the Leafs are going to say, yeah, well, you know, Kucherov's only making 9.5. And Patty Kane's making 10.5. And there's no other wingers that are making more than that in the National Hockey League. We'll see what Panarin gets in the offseason. And Marner's going to go, you know what? I don't care about any of those guys. I think I'm as good as Matthews. He got 11.6. I need 11.6.
Right.
Yeah. Or close to it. And they're like, yeah, but... And there's no way to settle that dispute. And, you know, it's funny because when the CBA was put together, they didn't give players coming out of entry level arbitration rights. And that was viewed at the time as this is a really positive thing for the club. That this is leverage for the club and the player doesn't have arb rights. He's missing out on something. But because so many, I don't know that the league ever envisioned so many young players would take the league so much by storm and become the best players on their team as quickly as they have. Mm-hmm. And so now it's almost like I get the feeling where the management people in Colorado, in Calgary with Tkachuk, and San Jose with Meier, in Toronto with Marner, and Point in Tampa, that they almost wish in some of these instances that there was salary arbitration for these guys. What if we had an independent? Because if you had an independent third party coming in to arbitrate the Marner contract, my guess is it's going to be a lot closer to 9.95 than it is to 11 or 11.5.
Right.
Because
there's any chance, Bobby, where he says, I'm not walking in that locker room for 1 cent less than Austin Matthews?
I don't know. That could be a position. I'm sure.
Like, you
know,
just negotiate amongst the team. That's what I do for the team. That's
in his heart, and I've said this before about Mitch Marner and sort of his mindset, and he's always that little kid growing up who was fantastic at every level that he played, but never really felt like he got recognized as much. I mean, you know, he was a fantastic player playing for the Don Mills Flyers and minor midget, and he didn't go until the end of the first round of the OHL draft because he was 130 pounds.
Right.
And the London Knights took him.
Yeah, McDavid was playing.
And so it was just, you know, so he's constantly fought this battle of, I'm not getting recognized for what I do. And I'm sure he looks at it and says, I think I drive play and I mean as much to the Leafs, even though Matthews, his 5-on-5 goal scoring totals are far better than Marner's. And, you know, he's bigger and he's a center and all these things. But, you know, I'm sure at some point the player, and there's no way to, you know, what do you say to him? You say, well, no, Kucherov's the best player in the game. He's making 9.5 as a winger.
Right.
And he goes, yeah, I don't feel that way.
See, but that's the thing also about how honest you might have to get. Like, not Jimmy Rutherford with you honesty, but you might, because really I look at this RFA class, and you might argue Jacob Slavin, but I think the only guy who could like genuinely say I'm the best player on my team is Aho. Like, Rantanen is not better than McKinnon.
I don't think Slavin's up, just to let you know.
No, I'm saying no. Slavin might be better than Aho, is my point. So, what I'm saying is Rantanen is not better than McKinnon. Kachuk's not better than Goudreau.
Right.
Lainey's not better than Scheifele.
Right.
Barner's
right.
not better than Matthews. Point's not better than Kucherov. Aho is the best player on his team.
Yeah. Right.
Like,
so
he could go in there
situational and say,
I'm the best player here. I don't care what these guys are doing. Yeah. Like, you talk about leverage. You need me more than anybody else in this room.
I don't care what everybody else makes. I want the money.
I want $11 million or $11.5
million.
Okay,
he ain't getting in Carolina.
But that's the whole thing because of his
circumstances. But that's not fair to him. Why should he have to say, I'm in Carolina, so I don't get $11
million? Exactly.
No, but, you want to maintain a salary structure.
Might be another number, 9,
No,
10,
you're right.
Whatever.
You're right. So, but and this is one of the problems the Leafs run into, is that there is no Scheifele contract. There is no Nathan McKinnon contract.
Right.
There's no little bit of subtle pressure that would make a player to even pause to consider for a moment.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think Patrick Laine is going to be too bent out of shape. Patrick Laine and Kyle Connor will more than likely, both of them are going to get far more than Mark Scheifele. And they're going to say, well, that's not our problem.
Yeah, right. That was.
Which it's not, I understand.
That's a sign
right.
of the
But the flip side of it is, and then you get into the threats and everything else back and forth, but they all can't get ridiculous amounts of money. There's a salary cap. So, you know, if you want the money, you may get the money, but you may not get it with that team. And if you're fine with that, then that's fine. And some people have said that's, you know, ultimately where at some point the Leafs will probably have to say that to Mitch Marner, saying, hey, if you want as much money as we think you want, might not be here. And he might say, well, I'm fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
And some people say, you know, and again, it's overblown, this connection. He's a hometown kid playing for the Leafs that he wants to be here. Do the Leafs overestimate the importance of him being a Toronto Maple Leaf? Or does Marner say, well, if I don't get it here, I'll get it somewhere else?
Well,
or not just here because Toronto, it's not just a geography equation. It's a John Tavares, Austin Matthews, Morgan Riley team that, you know, listen, the Bruins might win the cup here, and if they do, the Leaf fans are going to be like, man, game seven.
Yeah, up 3-2 even in the
game
series.
Seven and didn't get it done, or game six for that matter. So this is a group that could have a lot of fun and could really do some special things here. But, you know, they may say, well, great. Well, in the salary cap world forces players to cannibalize each other. It does.
Well, you also, not that I want to see this happen. I love Mitch Marner as a player. I love his story that he's from Toronto. And I think it's in the best interest for him and the team to get a deal done and continue to grow with this group. But if it got to a point where they had to trade him, it doesn't mean that they're definitely going to be worse. I mean, everyone in Toronto thought, you can't trade DeMar DeRozan. Yeah, you can, and you'll get better.
Yeah.
Like, who's to say a Mitch Marner trade, if it got to that point, doesn't make them better?
Yeah, it would really hinge
on... It could.
It would really hinge on what you get back.
And, of course, yeah. But that's the business. But you've got to be ruthless. Like,
no question about it. And I've said for a while that I'm skeptical of the whole offer sheet thing. But I also have been the one, along with Darren Dreger and Pierre LeBrun, and part of the reason we've talked as much about offer sheets this year is because I know for an absolute fact that a whole bunch of NHL teams that previously never would have even considered an offer sheet are having that internal discussion. Should we get into the offer sheet business this summer? Is it a tool that's been underutilized and that we need as a group to embrace it more? And maybe there will be offer sheets. But if you're the Leafs, you'd greatly prefer not to let this drag to July 1. Because then you're vulnerable to letting another team set your business practices for you. So if you do find a team that wants to pay Mitch Marner $1 million or $1.5 million more than you're prepared to pay him, then you're into, okay, do I take 4 first-round picks or do I match? And you don't want an external force determining how you're going to build your team.
I think there's going to be an offer sheet, but I'm not convinced it's Mitch Marner. I think there's going to be pressure points on these other teams. Like,
well, yeah, if you're the Florida Panthers, why wouldn't you offer sheet Braden Point, your cross-state rival, and they're in a pinch to...
Again, if the owner's not willing to pay him...
What about Kyle Connor?
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. Like, I look at players throughout the league. Like, Mitch Marner's a fantastic player.
Connor's a great player,
But I think
too.
The Leafs are going to, work as hard as they can. And I think Mitch wants to stay. I think they'll make something work at some point. But I'm, you know, Winnipeg could be a team that they've got some big decisions to make.
Sure they do.
Because they've got unrestricted free agents. Jacob Trouba's got to be dealt with. Tyler Myers has to, you know, I don't know where Myers is going to end up. But you look right across the board. If Matthew Tkachuk's going to get paid a lot of money, like, you know, is Calgary going to just saddle up and say, okay, this guy's going to make $5 million more or $4.5 million more than Johnny Gaudreau?
Yep.
And Mark Giordano and all of those guys on that team. Like, I agree, Bob. I think teams are...
I think they're talking about it more. I just don't know if it's going to, I don't know if it'll tangibly happen.
Four first rounders is rich.
Well, that's for the big money. And keep in mind, too, I think on the offer sheet rules, they only take the average of the first 5 years of the deal. So,
do you feel like the free agents, the unrestricted free agents, feel like they're getting jobbed here? Like, there's no hype about Carlson and Panarin, and like there is, I guess.
Yeah,
but a lot of people are talking about the
RFAs. I don't think Panarin. I saw on Twitter today where Panarin and Bobrovsky are vacationing in Miami.
Oh, really?
This week.
A business trip or a vacation?
Yeah. They've got pictures
of Dale Talons in the background.
There's called that 2 years ago. I mean, they love Miami. They're both going to sign there. Like, it's just.
I don't know, but like you wouldn't surprise me. Like they're at Miami Beach, and you see Dale Talon and like a
Joel Quinville and a exactly Tommy Bahamas just cruising around. I'd love to see that, man.
Yeah.
All right, Bob. Well, good seeing you, buddy.
All right, fellas.
Enjoy the. Well, I guess we'll get you back in here later in the week.
Yeah, I would imagine Thursday night.
There you go. Here's Bob McKenzie, our TSN Hockey Insider.